Think about the person you would least want to lose. Not in a morbid way, just think of the name. The one you'd call if everything fell apart. The one you can be quiet with. The one whose absence, even imagined for a second, makes your chest tighten a little. Hold that name. Now here is the uncomfortable thing. The bond you have with that person runs on something, the way a car runs on gas. And most of us have no idea what that something is. We assume the bond is just there. We assume that because we love each other, the jar between us will stay full on its own. But jars don't fill themselves. And some of the closest people in the world find out too late that theirs has been quietly running low for years. This episode is about that jar. The small one, the precious one, the one between you and the person whose name just came to mind. Here is what most of us think fills the jar between two close people. We think it's the big things, the gift you never forgot, the trip you took together, the night everything went sideways and they stayed. And those things matter. They do. But here's the quiet truth that the research on long-term bonds keeps pointing at. The big moments don't carry the jar. The small, steady, unremarkable ones do. The return text that comes back fast instead of 3 days later. The boring errand you run because they're worn out. The question you ask about the thing they mentioned once, weeks ago, that you remembered. The big moments are the sparks. But the jar between two people is filled, slowly, by what one researcher who studied close friendships called the small deposits, the 10-second choices, made again and again to reach toward the other person when it would have been just as easy to look away. Now, here's the part that changes everything. Small deposits fill the jar, but they only keep the jar full if they go both ways. So let's talk about the giving that costs you. Because there's a difference between easy giving and costly giving, and the jar between two people only fills with the costly kind. Easy giving is everywhere. The automatic birthday text, the "you've got this" when someone shares hard news, the kind word that takes nothing from you, fine. But notice, it doesn't fill the jar very much. What fills the deep jar between two people is the thing that is actually hard to give. Your full attention when a part of you is somewhere else. Your time on the night you had no extra time. Your honest word when a softer lie would have kept the peace. Your showing up, in person, not just a text, when the drive was an hour and you had an early morning. None of these is dramatic. None of them gets posted about. But every single one of them says a thing that easy. Giving never says, "I chose you over the thing that was easier." And the person on the other side of the jar knows the difference, always. They may not say it, but they feel it, and the jar knows it too. Now let's name what we're talking about, plainly, because it has a name. What we've been building across this whole show is called the giver economy. The idea that giving in a shape where things move and come back around is better for everyone than giving in a shape where they only flow one way. We've seen it at the scale of a shopkeeper and a town, a neighborhood and a buy-nothing group, a whole community keeping a jar for 100 years. Now we're looking at the smallest possible version. Two people, one jar. And here's the thing that's easy to miss at this scale. At the two-person scale, the giver economy doesn't mean you each keep a careful score. It doesn't mean you wait to give until they've matched your last move. It means both of you have made a choice, a quiet, on-purpose choice, to be the kind of person who puts something in first without waiting to see if the other one will. Both people give first. Neither one waits. And that little shift, when both people are doing it, is what makes the small jar between two people feel different from any other relationship you've ever had. It doesn't feel like a deal. It feels like home. Let's go one level deeper because I want you to understand why the costly gift does something the free one never can. It comes down to this. The cost is the message. Anyone can give what is free. You hand someone your extra change, your leftover attention, the words that cost you nothing, and they receive it warmly, but somewhere in the back of their mind they know you didn't have to sacrifice anything for that. It told them something kind. It didn't tell them they matter more than other things. The costly gift tells them something different. When someone gives you their tired Thursday evening, the one evening they had to themselves all week, they are not just being nice. They are saying, in the clearest possible language, that you matter more than the rest that would have been easier. When someone drives 2 hours to be there, when someone says the hard, true thing that would have been so much easier to leave unsaid, they are paying a real price for you. And when a person sees someone else pay a real price for them, not out of duty, not because they had to, but on purpose, freely, something lands in them that no free gift ever could. That is the thing that fills the deep jar, not the cost itself, but what the cost makes plain. I want to bring in something from the research here because it's striking. People who study what keeps close bonds strong over years have found something that is easy to say and hard to do. The pairs who stay close over a long time are not the ones who had the smoothest road or the fewest hard moments. They're the ones who kept on purpose giving to each other, especially when it was easiest not to. Through the busy stretches, through the tired seasons, through the years when life piled up and the jar between them could have quietly run dry without anybody noticing, they kept putting something in. Not grand things. The small, steady, on-purpose deposits. Now here's what that does not mean. It does not mean you give to test the other person. You are not dropping things into the jar to see if they match you. That is not giving. That is watching, which is something else entirely. And it does not mean you give out of fear that the bond will die if you stop. The on-purpose giving we're talking about comes from a different place. It comes from the same place the giver economy always comes from. You give because you already care, and giving is how that caring shows up in the world. All right, here is the pushback I know you're sitting with, and it's the right one to bring. What if the jar is only getting filled from your side? What if you're the one who keeps showing up, keeps remembering, keeps choosing them, and they aren't doing the same? Good. Sit with that, because it's a real thing, and it happens. And here's what I want to say about it carefully. A one-sided two-person jar is not a giver economy. A giver economy at two people requires both people to give first. One person doing all the giving between two people is not the giver economy. It's the well in a small room, and it will drain the same way. Now the hard truth, if the jar between you has been one-sided for a long time, it's worth asking plainly whether the other person actually wants to fill it. Not whether they're bad, not whether they're busy, whether they're in. Some people are not in, and no amount of your giving will make them in. That is not a reason to stop giving to people who are in. It is a reason to notice where the jar actually lives and to put your most precious giving there. I want to make sure something is very plain, because it's easy to hear all of this and quietly feel like giving in a close bond means you're supposed to be the generous one, the one who gives more, needs less, carries more, and expects little back. That is not what the giver economy is. That is the old, well, dressed up in nicer words, in the giver economy between two people, everyone earns. The giving you put in means something to you. It is your choice, your care made visible, and the giving they put in means something to them. Nobody is the charity here. Nobody is the object of the other person's generosity. Both people are real and full, both have something to give, and both are giving on purpose because they choose to. This is not one person lowering themselves to serve the other. It is two people choosing each other, turn by turn, in the ordinary ways that actually matter. And when both people earn, both people have something to give, both are chosen, both are needed, something in the bond becomes very hard to break. Not because you're locked in, because you both keep choosing to be there. Now here is the thing I really want you to land on, because it changes how this feels. You already know how to do this. You have almost certainly done it. Maybe once, maybe with one specific person, maybe in one season of a bond that felt different from the others. Think of a time when you gave someone something that cost you a little, and you didn't have to, and you did it anyway, on purpose. A time when you let someone else put something into your jar and you didn't deflect or brush it off. You let it land. A time when the giving between you and one person felt easy, not because it was cheap, but because it went both ways, and you both knew it. That time, that feeling, is exactly what we've been describing. You have already lived the small version of the giver economy. You know what it feels like from the inside. The move from here is not to learn something new. It is to do on purpose, with the people who matter most, the thing you've already done by accident when conditions were right. Stop leaving it to chance. Put the jar between you, on purpose, plainly, again and again. That's all it takes. So here is your one thing this week, and it is not complicated. Think of the person you thought of at the start, the one whose name came when I asked who you'd least want to lose. Now give them one thing that costs you something. Not money, your time, your attention, your honest word, your showing up. The thing that would be a little easier not to do. The unhurried call when you've had a full day. The drive you make just to be there. The thing you've been meaning to say but kept leaving for later. Something that, when you do it, will say the thing that only costly giving says, I chose you, on purpose, over what was easier. You don't need to tell them you're filling the jar. You don't need to name any of this. Just do the one costly thing. And then, and this is the part the Priyas among you will need to hear, let them put something in too. When they offer to help, say yes. When they want to give, let them. The jar between two people only fills if both sides do. That's it. One costly gift, this week, and let one in. So here is where we've been in the show, from the very first episode to this one, the jar. The idea that giving works differently depending on its shape, that giving in a circle, giving so it comes back around, giving in a way where everyone has something to put in, is better for everyone than a well that runs one way and empties the one who digs it. We started with a whole town. We ended here, at the smallest version, two people, one small jar, the precious one. And the whole show was really one idea. You don't have to give more. You have to give in a shape where the flow comes back. Start at any size. Start with one person. Put something in that costs you a little. Let something in too. That is the whole thing. It is a generous and good way to live. And you already know how. The whole story is in the books. Every thread, every proof, every question you walked out of this show still carrying. We will see you there. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.